അഖണ്ഡം സച്ചിദാനന്ദം അവാം മനസഗോചരം ആത്മാനം അഖിലാധാരം ആശ്രയേ തിഷ്ഠസിദ്ധയേ അർത്ഥതോക്തിദ്വയാനന്ദാന് അതീതദ്വൈതഭാനതഃ ഗുരുനാരാജ്യ വേദാന്തസാരം ഭക്ഷേ യഥാമതി. Okay, verse 70. Okay. Ete punar akash adi.
Punar akash adi
geta.
Punar akash adi geta.
Satvika.
Kamshedhyo.
So, punar akash adi gata satvika amshedhyo. So, satvika amshedhyo. Militedhyo. Upadyante. Sandhi. Ete. Punar, which is punaha, punar. Akasha, adi, gata, sattvika, amshedhyaha. So that whole thing is a compound. After the punar, the akasha, adi, gata, sattvika, amshedhyaha is a compound. Militedhyaha, upadyante. Okay, so now, if you remember, what we're dealing with now are the four types of thoughts in the antakarana, right? The buddhi, manas, the chitta, and the ahankara, buddhi, manas, and chitta, right? Make up the antakarana. The antakarana, in terms of the maya, sattva, rajas, tamas, maya, what is the antakarana made of? Right, we've looked at which each of the elements is made of. For instance, what each of the sense organs is made of, like the ears is from the akasha, right? So the ears are from the sattvic aspect of akasha, right? The eyes are from the sattvic aspect of agni, of fire, etc., like that. The sense of touch is from the sattvic aspect of vayu. So what we've learned so far is that in terms of the five sense organs, each sense organ is born of the sattvic aspect of one of the five elements, right? Space, air, fire, water, earth. Now, what about the antakarana, into which all of these sense organs funnel, right? All of the sense organs come into the antakarana, into the mind, which they've now looked at the four different types of vrittis in the mind, ahankara, buddhi, chitta, and manas. So now we're talking about what is responsible for these. So ete means these, nominative singular. These means these four types of thoughts that make up the antakarana. Ahankara, buddhi, chitta, and manas. So these, nominative plural. Punar, again. Punar can be used just like cha, and these, again, these are, because they've already gone through, the sense organs are, you know, born of the individual element, the sattvic aspect of each individual element. Ete punar, again and again, these. Akashadi, beginning with akasha, beginning with space, gata, abiding in that which begins with space, placed, and I'll talk about gata in a minute. Sattvika amshebhyaha, from the sattvic amsha is part. From the sattvic part, sattvika amsha, from the sattvic, sattva, rajas, and tamas, sattvika is adjectival, from the sattvic part, the sattvic amsha, which is gata, which is there. In English, we'd say the sattvic part, which is the sattvic part of space, etc., of space, etc., akashadi. Gata means abiding in space, as part of space, placed in the space, is the sattvic aspect, the sattvic aspect of place, of space, the rajas aspect, and the tamas aspect. So, in the space, abiding there, in the space, gata, it has gone into that. But in we use this all the time in Sanskrit. We don't really translate it in English. So we'd say from, fifth case, from the sattvic part, which is there, gata, which has gone into space. You know what I mean by gone into? It's like if Maya, which is made of sattva, rajas, and tamas, right? Maya is sattva, rajas, and tamas. Maya manifests first as the 10 mantras, the 5 subtle elements. So what is the Maya itself, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, has gone into as the karana? The 5 elements are the karya, the effect. The sattva, the Maya itself is the karya, the karana. The cause is comprised of sattva, rajas, and tamas. So when the karana, the cause, manifests as the 5 subtle elements, the sattva, rajas, and tamas will be in each element, right? Because Maya is sattva, rajas, and tamas. So when Maya, on all levels, but for now subtle, as Maya manifests, right? In everything, there's going to be the sattva, rajas, and tamas. So it manifests as the 5 elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. So space, air, fire, water, earth, each one of them is going to have a sattvic, rajas, and tamas part, amsha. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so here it says these antakarana vrittis that we're talking about, the ahankara, buddhi, etc. These utpajyante, last word, these are produced, these are born, right, are produced from that bhyaha. Let's take the first akash adi, gata sattvika amsha bhyaha. From the sattvic amsha, sattvic part, which has gone into space, etc., space, air, fire, water, earth. Milite bhyaha means combined, together. So what do they mean by that? These antakarana vrittis, ahankara, etc., are born from the combined sattvic parts of space, air, fire, water, earth. So all of the sattvic parts of the 5 elements combined together are what makes the karya, the material cause of the mind. Does everybody understand?
Not quite. Almost. The thoughts are born from the combined sattvic aspects of the 5 elements?
I'm not exactly, yeah. Say if you say antakarana.
Okay.
And now, okay, antakarana. Okay. Antakarana is comprised of these 4 types of thoughts.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to leave, that's why they say ate, these.
Okay.
When they say ate, these, instead of just saying the antakarana, they're referring to the antakarana in the terms of these 4 types of thoughts.
Okay.
So what is the material cause of the mind?
Yeah.
The mind is the Maya, which is comprised of sattva, rajas, and tamas, manifests as the 5 elements. If I take the combined sattvic part of all 5 elements, that is the material for the mind. Material cause of the mind, in terms of the Maya Upadhi. Okay? If I take the sattvic amsha of each element individually, then I have each sense organ. Like the sattvic element, the sattvic amsha, the sattvika amsha of akasha, right, is the sense of hearing. The sattvic element of vayu is the sense of touch. Sattvic element of agni, eyes. Sattvic element of water, of apaha, is sense of taste.
Mm-hmm.
Sattvic element of prithivi, of the earth, is sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
So each sattvic element of each one, in each element individually, is a sense organ. I combine all of the sattvic elements and I have the mind, the antakarana. One reason they say for that is like, your ears can't see, right? Your taste can't smell, etc. But your mind takes in all of this data at the same time. And so it can't be just made of one amsha. It has to have all of the amshas, all of the sattvika amshas, in order for it to be able to be the counterpart to all of the sensory perceptions. Understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this plant, this is a revealed information, or
it is actually, but it's also, it's just also a beautiful model. Mm-hmm. It is in the Upanishads, but it's a beautiful model for understanding subject and object as being part of the creation. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. It's a good upasana. It's a good meditation.
If you combine all the five sattvic elements of space, air, fire, water, earth, then that becomes the original sattvic portion of Maya, right?
Well, you if you look at the samishti, for the samishti, yes, for the vyeshti, then it's for your individual mind. Remember, samishti and vyeshti. So the whole, mm-hmm. you take all of the sattvic.
So if you take a fifth of sattvic on each of the five, then it becomes the whole, one whole sattvic part of Maya.
Yeah. Part of Hiranyagarbha. It'll be part of Hiranyagarbha. That's the samishti. That's why vyeshti and samishti, these terms are important. So the samishti Maya Upadhi, right, is Ishwara.
Mm-hmm.
The vyeshti Maya Upadhi is the jiva. In the samishti of Maya Upadhi, they have Ishwara, which is really Brahman plus Maya. Maya, which is sattva, rajas, and tamas, before manifestation. Once the Maya manifests, we first have Hiranyagarbha. That's the tanmatras, the five, the sattva and rajas that have not, and the sattva and rajas aspect of the elements that have not gone through panchikarna. Then the panchi, so that's Hiranyagarbha. Virat is the one, the Brahman abiding in as the self of the whole physical universe. So those elements have undergone panchikarna. So that's the samashti of Ishwara, Hiranyagarbha, Virat. If we look at the vyeshti, we've got Ishwara, we've got the Brahman plus Maya, Brahman plus Ajnanam, okay, which then we call Prajna. Then we have Tejasa. Remember Mandukya Upanishad, we've been over this a little bit. We have Tejasa, which is the subtle body, and then we have Vishwa, which is the whole physical. So here, though, all we're talking about is the vyeshti upadhi. Okay?
So when there's a total and the individual, that comes together, it comes at the same time, or
yes,
at the same moment.
Yeah, it's all together in one complete package. Just like in your dream. It's like you have a dream and then you don't, the jivas don't enter the dream later. Right.
Welcome.
Is this grammar clear, the two ablatives there? Utpajyante or Vate Utpajyante, these are produced by or are born from. Okay. From the combined, milita means together, combined. From the combined sattvika amshas, sattvic parts, right, which have gone into each of the elements, beginning with akasha. You understand the gone into, and so we don't often translate it that way, but gone into, if you think about it, the karana is the Maya Upadhi, which is made of sattva, rajas, and tamas. When it manifests, the sattva, rajas, and tamas goes into, mm-hmm. is to be found there in each one of the elements. If you take the sattvic aspect of each element together, then we get the four types of antakarana vrittis. Okay, let's do the next one, 71. Ete sham. Prakashatmakatva Sattvika Amshakarayatvam. So Ete Sham Prakasha Atmakatvat Sattvika Amshakarayatvam. Giving the logic for why the sense organs and mind are taken to be the sattvika amsha. So, ete sham, if we take it like this, of these, ete sham, genitive plural, of these, sattvika amsha kariyatvam, because of these are Karyatvam being the effect, Karya being the effect of the sattvic amsha of these. Etesham. I'll put this in good English in a minute. So of these, or for these, being the sattvika amsha karya, being the effect of the sattvic parts of these, because of being prakashatmakatvat, because of being prakasha, because of their nature being atmaka, because of their nature being prakasha, luminous. Because of their nature being luminous, these are the effect of the sattvika amsha. So let me talk about use of karyam here. It's not a very good translation. My translation isn't good. It's not wrong, but it's just not smooth. Think like this. Maya is sattva, rajas, and tamas. Maya is the karanam of the manifestation, right? The maya in avyakta is just sattva, rajas, and tamas unmanifest, an unmanifest condition. When it manifests, what are the effects? How does what happens when maya manifests? That's the karya. So now we say that the antakarana is the combined sattvic aspect, right? That's what the antakarana is. Why do we say that? Because it's self-luminous. It enjoys consciousness. Sattvic reflects consciousness. So the antakarana reflects consciousness. The buddhi, the ahankara, the buddhi, you know, the citta, and the manas all enjoy consciousness. So because they enjoy consciousness, they must be sattva. Rajas doesn't reflect consciousness. Tamas doesn't reflect consciousness. The sense organs in the mind reflect consciousness. Therefore, they must be sattva. When they say karya, why do you say that they're an effect of the sattvic aspect? Because the maya upadhi is sattva, rajas, and tamas. When the maya manifests, that manifestation is the effect of maya. The effect is karya. So why do we say that all of the vrittis are an effect of this? Effect of the sattvic part of the maya upadhi? Well, because they reflect consciousness. You understand?
The word luminous.
Is there a what?
The word luminous.
Prakasha.
Yeah.
Luminous just means they enjoy consciousness. We use prakasha for consciousness. Like your mind enjoys consciousness, right?
Right.
Your sense organs enjoy consciousness. Mm. Not just, like this is just, this is sat. This doesn't enjoy consciousness from its own standpoint. This is sat. It doesn't enjoy consciousness from its standpoint. Right? A dead body doesn't enjoy consciousness from its standpoint, but a living body does. Why? Because the sense of touch pervades it. Right? The mind enjoys consciousness. You know? It enjoys carnorship.
So in Vedanta, this is helping me understand something I really have not understood for a really long time. So in Vedanta, we say, you know, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, the entire upadhi, the maya upadhi, is composed with that. But some parts of it have sort of more of one aspect than other parts. And so those parts that have the more sattvic sattva, then they are those what we call conscious, because everything is Satchitananda. Ultimately, we say it's all Satchitananda, right?
But it doesn't all reflect consciousness,
right? And that's what I'm trying to get to, because there's always like this sort of disconnect in my mind. Is how can it all be Satchitananda and just consciousness, but we have some things that, you know, we say are conscious. I mean, well, obviously are conscious, and some things obviously aren't. And so that has to do with this sattvic aspect.
That's right. That's why we say reflect consciousness or manifest consciousness.
Yeah.
So there's two important things here. Let me just talk about it for a second. When we talk about Ishwara, Ishwara is the manifestation of the entire creation. The maya manifests as one whole, right? And that one whole is made of sattva, rajas, and tamas. The sattva is pervasive, the rajas is pervasive, right? Because just think about it. The sattva means, like, for instance, if you have a dream, the sattva is pervasive to the dream because the entire dream is known. You're like the Ishwar of the dream. If you have an imagination, say if I ask you to think of a meadow, not everything in the meadow reflects consciousness, but the entire meadow is known, right? It's known because of sattva. So sattva is absolutely pervasive to the entire creation from the Samishti Upadhi standpoint. Rajas, pervasive to the entire creation. If there's nothing that's free from movement here, in fact, if you take out a telescope or a microscope and go in any either direction, everything is in constant movement. That movement on every level, subtle and gross, is because of rajas. Then, in the entire creation, everything has namarupa, right? Infinitely, namarupa. That's tamas. On the subtle level and on the physical level, like if I have an imagination, right, there's tamas there. There's the tanmatra and the imagination, we're still on the subtle level. On the physical virat, that physical world has gone through, the five subtle elements have gone through panchakarana. And so we have physical rupa, form. That's tamas. So now think about it. From your own standpoint, any imagination you have, pervasive sattva, pervasive rajas, pervasive tamas. Now, on top of that, that's the Samishti Upadhi. And that's why, so for you, from your standpoint in an imagination, the entire thing is known, the entire thing is in motion, there's the whole thing is replete with nama rupa. There's not some hole there. You know, that's not, that can't be differentiated. Like even space is a nama rupa in the sense that it can be differentiated from fire and from water and from air, etc. So there's a manifestation, pervasive manifestation of namarupa. Okay, so that's Ishwara. And that's your little experience of Ishwara. You're a mini Ishwara in terms of your dream or your imagination. And other things too, your thoughts. So you can appreciate Ishwara in that way. Now, on top of that, within that now, there are the jiva upadhis. Okay? The jiva upadhis, each jiva, is part of the Ishwara. Right? The jiva is part of Ishwara, like the waves, part of the ocean. But now the jiva has, as part of virat, right, it has this physical body that is made of the tamas aspect of the five elements, which have gone through panchakarana. Right? Now, and as is the rest of virat. This is our body that we're identified with. Then you have the prana that enlivens the body. The karmendriyas and the vital force, and those are made of the rajas aspect because they enliven, they're the energy, right, of the body. Then you have a mind, right? That mind is made, the mind itself, which is limited, so it's not pervasive sattva, because it's a jiva upadhi, it's an upadhi. But that upadhi, which is limited, the Vyashti Upadhi is made of sattva, pure satya, sattva, for the sense organs and for the mind. Right? And so that accounts, that sattva aspect then accounts for the jiva, any jiva, whether it be an animal or an insect or even a plant has a sukshma sharira that's limited. Any amount of knowership, of the sensation of consciousness, the manifestation of consciousness in the jiva upadhi is due to sattva. Right? So here, on a limited level, you have sattva, rajas, and tamas. Now, and that's for the jiva upadhis. This is not a jiva. Right? The table is not a jiva. And yet, from Ishwara's standpoint, the table is known. But just like if you have an imagination, everything is known, but not everything reflects you. Right? Say if I have an imagination of a meadow and people are walking through the meadow, from the standpoint of each individual person, that person can look out at the meadow through their sense organs and have a vritti of the meadow from their own standpoint within the meadow. But the rocks can't. the inanimate objects can't, and yet they are known. To who? To Ishvara. Or known by you from the standpoint of your sense organs and mind. They're either known by Ishvara as part of the whole, or they're known from your individual sense organs and mind. Now say, there's no jiva around. It's out in the desert. You're out in the desert. No one's there. You imagine you have a dream. There are no humans in the dream, no animals in the dream, no insects, no plants, no jivas in the dream. Just rocks in the desert. Is it known? Absolutely. As the Ishvara Upadhi, it's known.
So we can't,
but not from a jiva.
So we can't really say that the lamp doesn't have any sattva in it.
That's right. When you say like this, from the Ishvara Upadhi, sattva is pervasive.
Right.
But it's asanga. In the sense, there's no sukshma sharira.
It can't shine.
Yeah. From the lamp standpoint, there's no sukshma sharira, subtle body, for the lamp to say, I am the lamp. Or to appreciate itself as the lamp.
Well, why do you say asanga? Doesn't asanga mean not attached?
Yeah. It's just like for Ishvara, the sattva is not, the pervasive sattva is not attached to an object through a sukshma sharira. Just like for you also, you're totally a sangha. When you have a dream, you may be identified with someone in the dream, you know, and so there's no sangha there. Then you're actually appreciating experiencing the dream world from the standpoint of the dream character. But say you're not identified with anything. Then there's a sangha form for the sattva. It's not attached to anything. That's all I mean by that. Do you get it?
No.
Huh?
It'd be a good sort of, that's something really good to, I think we should sit with that a lot.
It's a beautiful meditation, actually, as you start to understand it.
Carol, do we say that consciousness, or, you know, reflection of consciousness, do we use the language like it's because of sattva, or do we just say here's the creation and how the emotion part and how the conscious, you know, what we call animate and that, you know?
We say that it's because of sattva.
It's because
if when we find it,
something, it's not that it's the category of our creation, but the ability to reflect consciousness is one of the categories of our creation.
What allows for the reflection of consciousness is sattva. What allows for motion, for energy, for movement is rajas.
Okay. So it's not just labeled sattva and rajas.
No.
It's because of something else that is sattva and rajas.
We say that maya itself is sattva, rajas, and tamas. It's not that maya has sattva, rajas, and tamas, as though there's some substantive that has these adjectives, qualities. It's that the maya is sattva, rajas, and tamas. These three strands together are what make maya. And maya, when maya comes into manifestation, that means sattva, rajas, and tamas comes into manifestation. So how does it manifest? How does sattva, in what form does it manifest? Well, it manifests as first the soul, aspect of the subtle, the sukshma aspect of the five subtle elements, and then the stula, physical aspect of the five subtle elements. You know, the five elements going through pachikarna become stula, become gross. Okay, then you say, okay, then you look at the sukshma, the subtle aspect of the five elements. They're called the ten matras. We've been through this now, okay? They're called the ten matras. Now that means that of the five elements, the five subtle elements that have not gone through panchakarma, there's going to be a sattvic part, a rajas part, and a tamas part, an aspect. Sattvika amsha, you know, rajas amsha, and tamas amsha, tamasika or whatever it is. Okay? So now, what in this creation, what manifests as the sattvic amsha, the sattvic amsha of the five elements? Well, the sense organs and the mind. What manifests as the rajas aspect of the five elements? The karmendriyas, the organs of action, and the pranas. Okay. What manifests as the tamas aspect of the five elements? Well, the tamas aspect goes through this process of grossification called panchikarna, that is responsible for the physical world, for Virat. And so now, when you look at it that way, what happens is that you understand that both the seer and the seen, the knower and the known, are all part of Maya. They're all part included in the manifestation of Maya, and they're included in this way. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. There's a Sattva, Amsha, Rajas, Amsha, right? And Tamas, Amsha. You see? And then you have to look at the Sameshti Upadhi, Total Upadhi, which is Ishwara, the Vyeshti Upadhi, which is the Jiva. And all are made of Maya. The Sameshti is a whole, you know? And so Ishwara, the Sattvika Amsha of Ishwara, is absolutely pure. It's not contaminated by Rajas or Tamas. So it's just all pervasive. It's a Sangha. It's not connected with the Rajas or Tamas. Whereas the Jiva Upadhi, the Sattvic element, is connected with the prana, with the vital force, and then taking on the physical body. It's limited, right?
Does
Ishwara
have an eye notion?
That's the Abhimana, not an eye, doesn't have an eye notion. But see, your sense of me, the Ahankara is only a name for your sense of self, the me. The me is Brahman. What makes you you, that sense of me is Brahman. The sense of me is the very nature of Brahman. You have an ahankara that says, I am, and the I am is fine. The I am is the label of who I am, right? But what makes it ahankara is you say, I am the body, or I am my mind, or I am hurt, or I am happy, or whatever. You identify it with something in the Maya Upadhi. That's what makes it ahankara. Even that ahankara is that, if ajnanam is there, that ahankara is always there, even in a subtle form. You don't have to be saying it. You don't have to say, when you're feeling agitated, you don't have to say, I am agitated. You just are agitated. And that identification is total. Right? So you don't have to label it. That label is still there, whether you manifest the label or not, whether you manifest the ahankara or not. It's there. It's assumed. We don't have to walk around saying, I'm the body, I'm the body, I'm the body, to have that sense of identification.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, so what I'm saying for you is that for you to be as an ajnani, for you to be a jiva, means to have the ajnanam. You don't have to have a manifest ahankara that's saying, I am the jiva. Right. It's there in your. It's that ajnanam is pervasive to your understanding.
It's given.
It's a given. It's a given. It's siddha. it's avichara siddha. Right, we were talking. It's avichara siddha. It is an established fact due to your avichara, due to your lack of viveka. Okay, it's an established fact. But you don't have to go around having an undercurrent and having a humvriti. I am. I am. You don't need it. As ajnani. You also don't have to walk around saying, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. The ajnanam is gone, you recognize yourself, that's it. So now your sense of I, the me, that I used to, because of ajnanam, identify with the body, now as the nishtha grows and you've gotten rid of all of these samskaras have dropped off that have caused me to continually take myself to be the body, even though I know differently, once myself is really recognized, then I'm me, and I'm always me, and that me is Brahman. I know that. I don't need to tell myself that. The ajnanam is gone. I don't need to say it. I don't need to wonder if when I say I'm going to the store, does that mean that all of a sudden I take myself to be the body? It's a given. You know yourself. But you don't need to say it. Now, Ishwara. Does Ishwara require, so imagine this. You have a vritti, as though a vritti, the Maya Upadhi, is manifest.
Yes.
The whole infinite manifestation. Now what if Brahman takes, what if Ishwara takes time out to have a vritti that says...
I'm only this part?
No, that just says, I am infinite. Okay, so now, here's the infinite manifestation, that's one, as though one vritti, okay? And now Brahman, Ishvara thinks, I am infinite. Okay, for that moment there's no creation then, because now we have the vritti. I am infinite. In an infinite manifestation, I am that, and there's no ajnanam. So Ishvara doesn't have to say, I am that. You don't have to say it. You are that. You know, like, let me give you an example. If you have, for instance, the thought of a meadow, I ask you to imagine a meadow. Now that, in that imagination, there is the truth of it, the reality of it. The reality does not need to be analyzed if it is known. What is known? That I am the self from whom the meadow has come, because of whom the meadow is sustained, and into whom the meadow will resolve. That's a fact. I am the very being, I'm the very consciousness, I'm the very self of the meadow. The meadow has no being apart from me. All of these things are a given. They're known. There's no ajnanam there. And so there's no analysis because, or no commentary, because the commentary is already manifest knowledge. And just like for you, there's so many things that you know that are beyond commentary. If that's knowledge, right? And so don't think of Brahman as having all of these commentaries going on about the nature of himself or the nature of the creation. Because that nature, whatever he would be thinking, is already manifest knowledge. It's already known. The thought is already known. Do you understand what I mean? So that kind of, what I'm trying to do is help you from trying to think of Ishvara having to have an ahankara or an I am thought or something to acknowledge that I am Ishvara. You don't have to acknowledge it because you are that. Just like if you have the thought of a meadow, you know, you don't have to acknowledge it. You are that. You see what I mean?
So can I just ask a very simple question? But when we use the meadow analogy, there is the meadow and you say, I am the self of the meadow.
Yeah.
In the meadow analogy, there is a mind. There is my mind that is imagining the meadow and people in it or whatever else in it. And then I say, I am, that mind is the Ishvara of the meadow. But when you take that to Ishvara and the world, the creation, then there isn't obviously something apart from the creation that has, so when you say, you know, Ishvara is the whole growth and subtle and order, but there isn't something outside of it that is what's labeled Ishvara, right?
Yeah. When I'm using the meadow example, we have to contain that example.
Right.
To consciousness plus this Maya that we have at our disposal that is capable of manifesting the meadow. I'm calling that Maya. So there's the conscious being, plus we're using the mind, but I'm using the mind as an example of Maya. Because now you have you, the Atma, with the capacity to manifest a meadow. Now I'm not at all worried about the physical creation or the physical body or anything. Just the relationship between consciousness, which is your being, and the meadow, and the meadow imagination. You see?
So if we look at Ishvara as the order, micro order, macro order, then there's no one to really
take a pie.
I'm going to see my family right now.
Well, maybe they'll enjoy a pie.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, tomorrow. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye.
Merry Christmas. I mean, there isn't a being to think of, you know, having ahankara or not ahankara or having thoughts or anything like that.
There isn't, because it's already... That the truth is already manifest. It's already known. You know, the relationship, like say it's the satya-mitya, that satya-mitya relationship, that's a given. Just like, for instance, if I were to label it, just for you as an ajnani, just taking it away from knowledge, from self-knowledge, and I start talking to you about the conscious being in reference to a thought. You know, one comes and goes, one is totally dependent on you, the other, you know, outlasts the thought. There's a satya-mitya, their relationship. That's very clear, right? That's very, very, very clear. Now, you don't have to say that because it's knowledge. once it's knowledge, it's already said. It's said in the very nature of the thing. Now just think about, sometimes Swamiji talks about a little bit like this. Say, for instance, science. Science, which is the discovery of the infinite order, if I can talk about the infinite order of the creation. All of the laws of interrelationship. Those laws are. We go on as jivas, go on discovering them. Right? Mm-hmm. But we're not creating them. We're discovering what is. Mm-hmm. For Ishwara, what is knowledge. What is, this is a whole, what Swamiji will call manifest knowledge. Right? Because what is known. That's why we say Ishwara is both sarvajnaha and sarvavit. By sarvajnaha means he the satyam nitya. It's absolutely clear, just in broad strokes. You know, the Brahman Maya, Satyam Nitya, in broad strokes, the reality is a given. That's sarvajnatvam. Sarvavit means everything within that Satyam Nitya is known. So to understand, for us, sarvajnatvam, in our little example of the meadow, the sarvajnatvam is the Satyam Nitya, Brahman Maya. Right, that's clear, and it's pervasive. In broad strokes, I understand the whole thing. Right? Jiva Ishwara, clear, in terms of I'm the Ishwara of the meadow and the jivas inside and the ones inside of the jivas. Okay? Broad strokes, that's sarvajnatvam. The sarvavit, if we use these two terms, right? We don't always use these two, but if we use the two terms in juxtaposition, then sarvavit means I not only know that satyam nitya, I know everything in it. Right? Everything that's in that that manifestation is known.
When you say
that's why Swamiji will call that manifestation absolute knowledge, infinite knowledge.
But there isn't an Ishwara to know it. It is Ishwara, right?
Yeah. It is Ishwara, but when we say, you don't want to just say it is Ishwara as limiting it to the Maya Upadhi, because Ishwara is Brahman with the Maya Upadhi. So as long as that's what you mean, that is it.
But when we say Ishwara in the, you know, not Brahman, but Ishwara, when we say
we include
the Lord,
Brahman.
Or, yeah, we do mean that, you know, there isn't really a being or a mind to know or to have ahankara or to,
there's no ahankara. It's what is and what is known. What is known because of the pervasive sattva.
And is known by who?
Because of the Atma. Okay, look at like this. Consciousness, which is Brahman, it is self-evident. What that means is if I get rid of the whole creation, consciousness itself shines. So we could say consciousness in, by its own nature is known. Because it's self-evident. It's not known by a mind,
right,
or by sense organs or by any second thing. It is known in and of itself. That's why the words we use are it's self-luminous, swaprakashatvam, or swatasiddha, self-evident. Means you don't need any pramana, you don't need any second thing for it to shine, for it to be self-aware without duality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, Maya, when Maya manifests, which is nitya, totally dependent on Brahman for its being, when it manifests, that knownness quality, that knownness nature of consciousness, reflects in the sattva. So reflecting in the sattva, that Maya upadhi is known. If there was no sattva there, manifest sattva,
right,
then there would be no way the Maya Upadhi would be known, because there's no sattva that reflects it.
Yeah.
All that would be known is the self-evident nature of Brahman, but the Maya Upadhi wouldn't reflect Brahman for it to have a sense of being known. And it's the same for your mind. The reason your mind is known is because it's sattva. Now, because there's ajnanam there, right, so the sattva is contaminated in a sense by the ajnanam, there's ignorance that causes you to take the knownness, the consciousness, the self-evident consciousness, to belong to the mind, as though the mind produces it.
Is
Mike coming? No, I don't think so. Who is it? No,
man.
Okay. It's raining outside, but sometimes he'll just drop it.
Oh. Okay. I'm ready.
Well, I'm not anymore.
I'm so helpful.
Yeah.
So without the sattva, right, there's nothing reflecting consciousness. So I imagine this body, the sukshma sharira, goes, then this is just tamas. There's no sense of nourishment in the body, in the dead body. Now, say you remove the sattva from the manifest creation, there's no sense of nourishment from the standpoint of the manifest creation for it itself to be known. But sattva is pervasive. And so there's a sense of knownness for the entire creation. But for Ishvara, there's no ignorance. There's no ignorance that identifying with the Maya Upadhi as, oh, this is me. Just like you would say, this is me in the Satya Mitya sense. All of this enjoys me, I am free from it. That would be what is natural knowledge for Ishvara. Just like if you imagine a meadow, what is natural knowledge for you is that the meadow is me, right? But I am free of it. Right? But the meadow isn't anybody else. The meadow is me, but I am free of it. So for Ishvara, the universe is me, I am free of it. But it doesn't have to state it, and neither do you. Ishvara won't state it. Because it's already stated. It's already stated in the reality of it. But you don't have to state it either. You can state it because you're a jiva and you have an antikarana, which is different from the creation. You're not infinite manifest knowledge. And so you can appreciate, you can have the, like I say, imagine a meadow. Now the reality of that, the satya mitya, is a given. You are the meadow is you, but you're independent of the meadow. That's a given knowledge. And then, you know, we can also say that. We can do a commentary on it. But you don't need to say it. Right? Because it's manifest.
And what should we be saying to ourselves just as awake jivas walking around?
You don't have to be saying anything. But because once that ajnanam is gone, the reality is what is. You don't have to have a running commentary on reality. Unless you're teaching it. If you're teaching it, then you're trying to make a student understand that you're not walking around saying, you know, I am Brahman and this is all mitya. Unless you're just musing and poetry, you know. The beauty of it, the wonder of it, but you don't need to say it for your knowledge.
What kind of walking should we do then? I mean...
You're just appreciating your knowledge naturally until some pretty bandhika comes up. Some sort of
question. It won't take long.
could you be like walking around and it's like, I'm Brahman and all this being is my being.
That's like a nididhyasana, right? That's a nididhyasana. That's an open-eyed meditation. It's like where you put into words what you're seeing. That's a type of nididhyasana. But that also is your reality, whether you're saying it or not. Except when it isn't. When it isn't, then that's the time to do the different sadhanas that we've learned in order to bring your mind back to clarity. But there's a lot of different sadhanas, a lot of inner child work and all of those type of things, ways of being with your antikarana, that are very important. And once the complexes and things are kind of settled, then from there you bring in bring your mind back to your knowledge in relationship to whatever was causing you trouble. So that the sadhanas there's different sadhanas that are taking care of different parts of you. Sadhanas that are meant to take care of the child complexes, sadhanas that are meant to take care of certain lack of values, sadhanas that are meant to just the jnana sadhanas, just bringing you know, your knowledge to bear in order to resolve the mind, resolve the mind, resolve the problem. The problems are all mithya. They have no reality. That's what, they're magic. They're like magic.
They're
magic because you can be in emotional hell. In emotional hell, and by taking care of your mind or wherever that problem, wherever the knot is, you know, you're released from it. It's not physical. You can, you know, you by changing your attitude, by bringing in your knowledge, the emotional hell turns into deep shanti. You know, and vice versa, you know. So these aren't, it's not real, something real substantial that you're dealing with. That's why I say it's like magic. You can, you know, imagine hell and then imagine heaven. You know, you can remove the problem.
Sometimes when you're taking care of those problems, they still kind of went out. I mean, you know,
initially, only for a while. They never went out in the end. But the strong ones can take you on a ride for a while. The Swamiji says, you know, in those lectures on this question and answer thing that we have on the, he talks about this. You know, it's a beautiful understanding. Who's going to win, the complex or your knowledge? The mind, the manas? Is the manas, you know, the fluctuating emotional mind, going to win? Or is your knowledge going to win? Your knowledge will always win.
It's stronger.
The manas runs its course, takes you on an emotional ride, and then finally lifts, and there you are. So it's like waking, kind of like waking up from the bed.
Yeah, can I just ask one thing, just going back to Ishvara. When you use language like Ishvara doesn't have to think like that, or Ishvara doesn't have to, it almost seems to separate what is from Ishvara. But I just want to understand, what is what we call Ishvara?
Yeah.
So there's no other being to say I am all this, because all this is what we call Ishvara.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What did she just say?
Perfect, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. What did you say?
Actually,
look there, prayer. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.